This is Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
And loaded on this Wednesday edition of Money Moves right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Stormy Bontoni with you as always from live in downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. JVT out again today, but very fortunate to have Ben Stevens back in the chair, who went 2-0 yesterday on the best bets, by the way. Thanks for carrying the team, brother.
Listen, I'm trying to deliver during my stint here on Money Moves. And if we can tap into college basketball as conference play intensifies around the country, that is my sweet spot. So I am glad I could come through with a perfect 2-0 night. I would only caution, though, the two college basketball best bets that I will give out to end our 2 hours today. Stormy, just, you know, be wary of how long this hot streak can continue.
Well, I mean, perfect so far, no pressure. And I will say, I'm probably going to need you a little bit here because I mentioned you carrying the team yesterday. I meant that for not only the best bets, but the whole show, because I was very sleep deprived on our program yesterday. The brain wasn't operating at full function. And so as I told you on the air, I was going to take a nap after the show yesterday and kind of reset. Well, the nap ended up being, instead of like a power nap hour or two, like 4 hours, which then has now thrown off my whole mental clock, because I thought, having been, you know, from Nashville and Miami, being on Eastern and Central time, that it was going to help me when I got back in general for work, because, oh, I'm going to wake up early and it's going to feel so natural. I don't know what's happening with me today. It's not where I slept in far too long because I didn't go to bed until super late last night again. And I'm a hot mess, Ben.
Yeah. That's the danger, Stormy, of that afternoon nap, even when you are sleep deprived. If that trends past an hour and a half, heck, maybe even 2 hours, it moves past a nap time and maybe a second sleep. Yeah. I do not blame you for getting 4 hours. Very well deserved, might I add, after a very hectic stretch where you left Nashville at 3 a.m. Central time to fly back to Vegas yesterday to host Money Moves. So again, very well deserved. But kind of trending into that second sleep category, then your regular sleep is off, your schedule is off. Kudos to you for even being here and powering through on this Wednesday on Money Moves.
Dude, not good, because you'd think like, hey, maybe my husband would wake me up and help a girl out, but he was passed out as well. Yeah. So it was just a disaster all around. That said, I am still pumped for everything we have to come on the show today. The research still got done regardless of the sleep situation, and we are ready to go. So let's set the table as we always do. Producer Justin, hit us with the rundown.
It's time for the top headlines and topics of the day. This is the rundown.
All right, top items we've got on deck include a stacked guest list beginning at 2:30 Eastern. Kendall Valenzuela, senior analyst over at Fantasy Life, is going to join us, talk through some playoff fantasy draft angles, guillotine leagues as well. Then at 2:45, Chuck Esposito of the Red Rock Racing Sportsbook will stop by the program, get the latest on where the money is going for the CFP semifinal and wildcard weekend. And at 3:30, Bruce Marshall, professional bettor with some of his best bets all around. We got college basketball, maybe a little college football and NFL too. So we're covering all the bases today.
Yes, we certainly are. And I love the lineup of guests that we have. Now, every Saturday, I host Live Bet Saturday. So I follow Tim Murray on the VSiN Tailgate Show. And every Saturday, he has Chuck Esposito on to tell us where the handle and the markets are going for a college football Saturday. I think very highly of Chuck Esposito. He carries a lot of grandeur in my mind. Excited to chop it up with him here on Money Moves.
No doubt about it. We've also got a little hockey on deck, a short 5-game slate, but we're going to puck around and find out. There are a couple totals that I did add to the account. And Ben, well, I know there's no hockey for you today. As you said, you've got some college hoops, including among the ranked games, we have a ranked on ranked game with Alabama and Vanderbilt going on.
Yes, we do. A game I am very tapped into in Nashville. If you have not paid attention to the Vanderbilt Commodores in year number two under Mike Byington, this would be your time to do so. I think Vandy makes a statement. Puck around and find out. Stormy, admittedly, I am not the biggest fan of the puck action of all that we see on the ice, so I will find out a ton from your wisdom and insight today.
I got your back. We're going to have some fun. And we're going to have some fun looking at some of the potential trends for Wild Card Weekend that could be important or maybe not. Is the trend your friend? We will get into that later on in hour two. But as we kick things off today, we will start in the NFL. We got some big news. The Ravens firing head coach John Harbaugh after 18 seasons, who now, by the way, immediately becomes the most attractive head coach available on the market. And the Ravens, probably the most attractive destination for any other available head coaches here. Harbaugh Harbaugh, of course, dismissed after Sunday's gut-wrenching loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers that ends on the foot of Tyler Loop, which now has left the Ravens out of the playoffs for the first time since 2021. He coached the team 18 years, made the playoffs 12 of those 18 years, won a Super Bowl with the club back in 2012. But with Lamar Jackson and having a two-time MVP on the market, no rings or Lombardis to show for it, Ben.
Yeah, as we learned from our producer, Justin, this is a top five head coach and quarterback win percentage in the history of the National Football League. But unlike the other four teams and those other four pairs in the top five, no Lombardi trophy, which has really been the issue plaguing Baltimore in the Lamar Jackson and John Harbaugh run. He leaves behind in 18 seasons, a 180 and 113 overall record at the helm of the flock. That's a 0.614 win percentage. The 180 total wins, top 15 all-time, Stormy, in the history of the National Football League for a head coach. But there was some smoke behind this potential move heading into the regular season finale for Baltimore, which seemed rather stunning and shocking. And if you read the reports of how this all played out yesterday and early this week, a little bit surprising in the manner that it went down. For instance, John Harbaugh did not even meet with his own staff, and the report saying that he really lost the locker room, and namely quarterback Lamar Jackson, not agreeing on the direction of the franchise moving forward. So when that happens, of course, the head coach is probably the one that has to go.
Part of that disagreement as well, it seems, might have to do with the coaching staff and Harbaugh's vision of what that might look like moving forward versus ownerships. Todd Monken, a name that was brought up in that. Zach Orr, that said, feels like, as you kind of alluded to, a lot of this probably came down to ownerships having to decide between coach and quarterback. And you choose the quarterback here. And sometimes when there's smoke, there's fire. We saw the report come out from the Baltimore Sun a couple weeks ago that maybe Lamar Jackson wasn't particularly engaged in where things were at right now under John Harbaugh. According to Ian Rappaport of NFL Network, the Ravens are looking for a next head coach that will, quote, reach and invigorate Lamar Jackson to get the absolute most out of him and the team.
It's a two-time NFL MVP in Lamar Jackson. That's the situation you are stepping into with a ton of talent elsewhere in the roster. As you said, Stormy, to be the leader of the flock, maybe the best job now in the seven vacancies we have in the National Football League. But conversely, John Harbaugh becomes that top coaching candidate, kind of like we discussed yesterday for the Browns' dismissal of Kevin Stefanski. You fire a guy who becomes a top candidate for the other NFL teams now in search of a future head coach. The Giants have been rumored that they might go all in to bring John Harbaugh to the Big Apple or the greater New York, New Jersey area. He's listed as the favorite and frontrunner for that head coaching job. I do wonder from the Lamar Jackson perspective, because Stormy, of course, we know, two-time NFL MVP award winner. Last year probably should have won it. Was the first team all-pro quarterback selection in favor of Josh Allen. But the playoff record for Lamar still stands at 3-5. He will not have the opportunity to change that here in the 2025 NFL postseason, now played in the calendar year 2026. Baltimore and Buffalo entered this NFL season 6-1 co-favorites to win a Super Bowl championship. Baltimore becoming the first favorite or co-favorite to win a Super Bowl entering an NFL season and miss out on the playoffs since 2008 when Tom Brady was still playing for the New England Patriots and got injured week number one against the Chiefs. It's rather remarkable, the 8-9 record this year for Baltimore and what that, of course, has meant for the future of that franchise.
Yeah, you said it. We talked about it yesterday. Kind of crazy to think how this team was thought of at the beginning of the season and for it to result in this way. And again, ending in such heartbreaking fashion as well, where you thought that you had that game against Pittsburgh won. And then obviously the missed kick does what it does. And maybe you blame the holy water. Maybe you blame just the way that this season was going for them. But anyways, you mentioned the Giants. Yes, they are not only the favorite to land John Harbaugh. It's odds on at DraftKings, minus 150. The Raiders sitting there at plus 450. Falcons and Browns plus 650. The Cardinals and Titans both tied at 8-1 as the longest shots on the board. Worth noting here, ESPN's Adam Schefter almost immediately reported Harbaugh's agent had already received calls from seven different organizations around the National Football League. If you recall how many teams I just laid out there, there's only been six outside of the Ravens that have fired their head coaches to this point. So that means at least one of these organizations currently has a head coach that is reaching out to Harbaugh's people as well. One of them, at least according to a report I just saw from Mike Florio on Pro Football Talk, not being the Miami Dolphins, who was the other question with Mike McDaniel, would he stay or would he go? So I think that's pretty fascinating.
That is, you do the quick arithmetic and you kind of carry the seven. You're like, oh, wait, there's seven head coaching vacancies, but that includes the Ravens, and seven teams have reached out to John Harbaugh. Hey, maybe it is Baltimore still inquiring if they could bring him back. I kid. That is, of course, not going to happen. If the New York Giants make this move, you get a guy who has been an incredibly successful head coach in the National Football League, 180 wins, as I alluded to, top 15 in the history of the NFL. But I wonder how that pairs with the talent defensively in the decision with Jackson Dart, because you have two of three holdovers from the last regime. The quarterback that you drafted in the first round, Joe Shane, still there as the GM, and now a new head coach. How does that alignment envision the key buzzwords when it comes to any changes you see in a football organization carry forward for the GM?
Prior to Harbaugh's firing, Kevin Stefanski was the favorite on the Giants' next head coach odds. Now it is Harbaugh, as we mentioned, minus 250. Stefanski, 2-1. Mike McCarthy, 6-1. Jeff Hafley, plus 850. And the recently fired Cliff Kingsbury as well, plus 950. And hey, maybe, you know, I don't know. I eat when I'm happy. I also eat when I'm sad. If John Harbaugh's looking for something, Omaha Steaks is certainly here for him right now, the official sponsor of tailgating. Right now, when you spend $129, you can score 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings, plus 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Don't wait. Get in there now when you spend $129, which is so easy to do. Get those 2 pounds of wings. Save 50% off on the site for steaks and more. omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Minimum purchase required. See site for details. Now that's a segue. Doing my best here, ladies and gentlemen. We got more football on deck, though, but shifting gears from the NFL to the college football playoff with two semifinals, the first of which getting underway tomorrow. Why we're seeing one-way traffic on this side? We'll talk about it all coming up next.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. VSiN Pro gives you access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Good day to have a college football co-host with me today. Ben Stevens, alongside Stormy Bonantoni here back on Money Moves. We got the semifinals getting underway tomorrow. Peach Bowl, Fiesta Bowl, each of the next 2 days. And cannot be more excited to break these games down from a handful of variety of ways. We've got movement on spreads and totals in both of these games, plenty of prop options available, which is super fun to dive into for college football this time of year. But I couldn't help but notice when I walked in the door today here at Circus Sportsbook, Ben, that this Miami-Mississippi game is now 3. And we were talking all day yesterday about how both games were sitting at the 3.5, seeing some love here at least on the underdog. What do you think about it?
Yeah, it's interesting to see that movement, especially on Circa. On DraftKings, still a 3.5-point spread in favor of the Canes, because most of that betting handle, around 72% of the current handle right now on Circa, is still on Mario Cristobal's Miami team. And yet we have seen the hook evaporate. Now it's at that flat number of 3. Same story, Stormy, for that Indiana and Oregon game. 4.5 at its open, now only 3.5 in favor of the Hoosiers. 95% of the handle on Circa is on Indiana. And we have seen that line work its way down. Most of the handle on DraftKings on Indiana as well as that ever so slight favorite. It was an indication for me the first time these two teams met way back in week 7 in Autzen. The betting public loved Oregon. It was that step up spot once more for IU. What a remarkable turnaround. But anytime they played the big boys, they were going to get hammered. So that line opened at 7, closed at 9.5 in favor of the Ducks at home. And yet most of that sharp money on Circa was on the Hoosiers as the underdog, not only, of course, to keep that game close and competitive, but ultimately Indiana winning outright. So it's interesting to see where the sharp money is on this IU team. And frankly, even in the Miami-Ole Miss matchup, now just 1 day away from that Fiesta Bowl tomorrow in the greater Glendale, Arizona area.
The totals in these games as well, shifting around a point in each. Indiana, Oregon, we've seen from the 46.5 to 47.5 range. For Miami and Ole Miss, 51.5 to 52.5. Here at Circa, it's at 52, where we're seeing 97% of the handle on that over as well. What do you make of that percentage split sitting here at Circa?
It's one of my favorite splits outside of a football X's and O's matchup component where I think one team has an advantage, whether it's through the air, on the ground, whatever it might be. Just from the actual betting handle and looking at things from that perspective, one of my favorite splits, Stormy, is when the public is hefty on the under, as they are on DraftKings for the Miami Ole Miss game, because publics love to bet the over, and yet they're on the under here, probably because of a stifling Miami defense that we have seen in the college football playoff and lack of explosive offense out of the Hurricanes in the CFP, expecting this game to trend toward the under. The public, most of that handle, believing that will be the case tomorrow in Glendale. Mm-hmm. But you just said not like a 57%. 43% split on Circa on the over, 97% of the handle for the college football playoff semifinal between the Hurricanes and the Rebs is on the over. If that's going to be the case, that's going to be the distinction. I'll trust the people that make a lot of money based on being those sharp bettors in terms of how they see things between Miami and Ole Miss. I'm not sure it's a shootout, but there are offensive things I believe Miami can do to Ole Miss, where the Rebs have allowed some yardage, and of course against Georgia, some points in the college football playoff, and they have the firepower to keep up, of course, offensively, led by Trinidad Chambliss.
Yeah, and that's the thing too, right, is even though Ole Miss has had their struggles defensively, they've been able to overcome it because their offense is operating at such a high rate. But if you're a casual fan that's looking at this game, you're like, Miami? They're, what, six games now that they're averaging giving up 9.7 opponent points per game? The Cinderella story is finally going to come to an end for this Ole Miss team. I totally get it. Meanwhile, Ole Miss, eight straight games with 30-plus points that they have put up on their opponents, looked masterful against Georgia, a defense that I think a lot of people thought was pretty good as well. So we'll see what that looks like. And with that in mind, let's dive into the prop market for that Miami-Ole Miss game. From a passing yard standpoint, you see Trinidad Chambliss, to no surprise, a minus 180 favorite in the passing yards when put head-to-head with Carson Beck. Beck available at plus 140. Trinidad been the most efficient high-volume passer in the country, most elusive quarterback remaining, so that ability to keep plays alive as well. We know Beck's numbers have been a little bit lower, but you and I were talking off-air about the rushing yards market being pretty intriguing here between Lacy and Fletcher. What caught your eye?
Yeah, Kewon Lacy has been sensational this year. He leads the country in rushing touchdowns. He has scored at least three rushing touchdowns now in the college football playoff, 23 in total this year. He had 87 yards and a score against Tulane, 98 and two rushing touchdowns against Georgia in that decisive victory in the Sugar Bowl. So obviously, he is going to be booked as the favorite, right, in comparison to Mark Fletcher Jr. Well, Miami has been outgained in their first two college football playoff games and yet will play for a spot in the national championship tomorrow night. The engine of the offense has been Mark Fletcher Jr. Miami had 273 total yards in their first game against Texas A&M, a buck 72 from one man, Mark Fletcher Jr., who was paramount in that second half in College Station, also scored in that game. Against one of the best defenses we have seen in a long time in college football, Mark Fletcher Jr. had 90 yards against Ohio State. Five games for Mark Fletcher this year with at least 90 rushing yards. Two have come in the CFP. And I shared yesterday, Stormy, I've been looking for ways to fade an Ole Miss rushing defense under Pete Golding that was not nearly as dominant up front as they were a season ago. Second best a season ago, just a little bit over 80 yards per game. This year in the regular season, 150.5 rushing yards per game allowed by this Rebs defense. It has not really caught up to them just yet. They did give up a lot of yardage against Tulane. Georgia put up 34 points, some of that defensively as well for UGA. But the leading rusher for both the Green Wave and the Dogs, Jamari McClure for Tulane and Nate Frazier for Georgia, at least 84 rushing yards. I think Mark Fletcher Jr. is the reason offensively Miami has some advantages. So I would take him in the match bet or even to be the leading rusher in tomorrow's Fiesta Bowl at a slightly better price by a nickel at minus 105.
Yeah, with Ole Miss being the worst defense of the teams remaining, they struggle more against the run than the pass. I think a lot of this does set up nicely for Mark Fletcher Jr. And you mentioned the 172 against the Aggies. He misses a couple games with injury and just absolutely storms back. And in a game like that where the wind was what it was, they needed him, and he delivered each of these playoff games as well. In addition to the yardage, 17-plus carries in those, so you know he's getting the usage from that standpoint. And there are other ways. You don't just have to bet the head-to-head. You can bet some of these, whatever the number is, plus markets for Fletcher in particular. 80-plus is juiced pretty high at minus 150, but 89-plus, minus 110. You can continue to ladder it up if you think he can get 100-plus yards, plus 130. So look at some of the alternate angles that maybe you can buy in there as well. Anything else prop-wise in this game where you want to look ahead to the Sugar Bowl?
I would just keep an eye on Harrison Wallace III, the leading receiver for Ole Miss in that Sugar Bowl against Georgia. He has not necessarily been Trinidad Chambliss's top target, but with a huge game, a buck 56 through the air, or at least receiving, and a touchdown. Keep an eye on his numbers for tomorrow night in Glendale against the Miami secondary that has been so much improved this year under Corey Heatherman, but I still think Trinidad Chambliss and the Ole Miss offense can take some advantage.
Okay, that is where things sit with Miami and Ole Miss. Let's go Oregon, Indiana, where you have the top two candidates to be the number one overall pick in next year's NFL draft at quarterback, Dante Moore and Fernando Mendoza. Moore, a minus 135 favorite in the head-to-head with the Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah, and it's really interesting to see that, Stormy, because the Heisman Trophy winner in Fernando Mendoza has only thrown for more than 270 yards in a game twice this year. More than 300 against Michigan State, nearly three Bills against Wisconsin in November, both of those games at home in Bloomington. Meanwhile, Dante Moore has thrown for more than 270 in five games this year, including more than 300 against JMU in that college football playoff opener. I will say the first time these two teams met in Autzen, 61.8 was the completion percentage for Dante Moore against Indiana's defense, the lowest for Dante Moore this year in a full game. He got injured against Wisconsin. The stat line wasn't great against the Badgers in that matchup, but the lowest for Dante Moore against a single opponent in a full game this year, that IU defense. Also, two of his nine interceptions all year long came against the Hoosiers in that game.
We mentioned some of these lines being on the move. Remember, before the line moves, the sharp plays is already there. And January isn't just about volume. It's about precision. The NFL playoffs, the college football playoff postseason as well. When limits rise, mistakes shrink, and timing matters more than ever. You're not going to outsmart billion-dollar sportsbooks or full-time sharps on your own. But with sharp plays, you don't have to. Powered by advanced AI, connected to proven insider sources, and locked in on the football postseason. The sharp plays helps identify where the sharp money hits before that number disappears. You get free daily reports, real-time alerts, market-moving insights, all delivered straight to your inbox or X feed. And since 2011, they've been backing it up with the documented results. Public logs, transparent receipts, that's what we care about. SharpPlays.com, trusted by the pros, monitored by the books. Stay ahead of the line this postseason at SharpPlays.com. Shifting gears into the fantasy world coming up next, Kendall Valenzuela is going to help us make sense of the plan and path you need to set for the playoff fantasy leagues you might be in and all of the different options that are available for you. We'll be right back on Money Moves.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The NFL postseason is officially here with Wild Card Weekend getting underway on Saturday. Stormy Bonantoni, Ben Stevens with you. And with that comes new fantasy football opportunities, potential landmines as well. So to help us get our head on straight, very excited to have our girl Kendall Valenzuela join us here on the Progressive Guest Line like she does every Wednesday. Senior analyst over at Fantasy Life, host of SiriusXM Fantasy Channel 87 as well. You can follow her on X at KValenzuela17. And let's jump into it, Kendall, because now that we are in the playoffs, there are so many different types of leagues like fantasy formats that you can get into. We still have DFS going on. So for anyone who has never played fantasy football in the postseason, what are some of those big things people need to be aware of?
Yeah, I think it just depends on, you know, first of all, it's so easy to say it, but read the rules of whatever contest you're going into, because there's a lot of different things going on. We've got at guillotineleagues.com for us, we've got what we call guillotinis, and they are so much fun. I've already entered in about 10 of them, and I highly recommend anyone who wants to go and maybe get that guillotine league experience, but only for this 4 or 5 week period, whatever it may be, to go and look at that. So that's one where if you get chopped, all the remaining players go back into the waiver into the bidding where you could bid on those players. So that's one of them. We're doing a lot with RT Sports right now as well. We've got some contests there, but I think especially Stormy in those bigger contests, it's really important that whatever team you build, if you're doing multiple of them, they can tell different stories, but I like to work my way from the Super Bowl and go backwards. I want to make sure that when I'm building a team, I am picking teams that I believe are going to make it to the Super Bowl, and it might scare people, but it's the way to do it. You just have to make a decision with teams that you like and teams you think are going to go far, because you don't want to have multiple players, multiple different teams, two players that are facing off against each other this weekend. It just makes the odds of you winning those bigger form contests a lot more difficult. So I like to make my way to the Super Bowl, work backwards, try not to be biased towards the Seahawks or anyone that I like there, and then do that. But guillotineleagues.com is where you can go check out those guillotinis that I told you about, and they're so fun and very quick to do.
Guillotinis, guillotine leagues. It makes a lot of sense for NFL playoff football. It's survive and advance. As a fantasy football player, you will experience the same. Kendall, it's always fascinated me when it comes to playoff football and the fantasy implications, what that strategy is. You just mentioned it. You started the Super Bowl, teams you expect to play in Santa Clara for a Lombardi Trophy, and work your way backwards. What exactly is your thought process in terms of how you build a fantasy roster for postseason football?
Yeah, I think for me, again, depends on the contest, but I really want to make sure that I am not like overthinking things. I think in some of these formats, I know that there are positional advantages that you can take. Like, I think George Kittle is one where if you don't get George Kittle, I think you can just wait on tight ends. Like, and I know that that's for guillotine league formats, the guillotinis, because my observation and what I believe is that the 49ers, sorry, Stormy, aren't going to make it through this weekend, but I know that George Kittle can score me some points. I know, I'm sorry. George Kittle can score me some points. I feel the same way, though, about, like, I think the Buffalo Bills are going to go a bit farther. I think I would put a lot of time into trying to draft Josh Allen. I also feel the same way about, and I know I'm a Seahawks fan, but I feel the same way about Matthew Stafford. Like, he is my QB1 in these rankings because I just believe that Matthew Stafford showed us in the regular season what he can do. I think they're going to be able to turn it on in the playoffs. And so it's really for me when I'm building these teams and going through these contests, whether it be DFS, whether it be guillotine leagues, that I just make sure that I am really like in line with my convictions, that I'm in line with what I believe, because again, you want your teams to be able to tell some kind of story. It needs to be a little bit cohesive in order to win these, because again, if you've got multiple Panthers players, then you get Kenneth Gainwell on your team, maybe that works out, but I'm one that doesn't believe that they're going to make it that far. So you have to just be able to be okay with being wrong. I think that's one of the bigger things is like, especially if you do multiple, I'm making sure that I have different teams that I believe could make it to the Super Bowl in different contests like this. So again, be okay with being wrong, but just definitely start, I think for me, from the Super Bowl and work your way backwards is the most important part.
Okay, so if Bills and Rams are kind of top of mind for you, you got Matthew Stafford, Josh Allen, James Cook, Kyron Williams, maybe Blake Corum. Wide receiver though, especially on the Rams side of things, obviously Puka Nacua is going to be a target, but what do we do with Devontae Adams at this point dealing with the hamstring?
Yeah, I'm willing to risk it. I'm willing to draft Devontae Adams because for what they've told us, and again, teams can back off and tell us things and it could just be smoke and mirrors and they're just trying to get the other team to bite on it. But I think Devontae Adams is a good pick. And I think that he is going to be back for the playoffs. And I think that, again, is another part when we see that we can unlock another level of Matthew Stafford that we saw during the regular season. So I think that he's a good pick. I honestly, if you like the Jaguars and you think that they could make it past this Bills team, which I think a lot of people do, Parker Washington is one that I don't think gets enough love right now. I know people might think, oh, it could be Jacoby Myers. Brenton Strange isn't a bad option either. But if you're really looking for some potential sleeper picks, like I think Parker Washington is one. If you believe that Jacksonville can go as far as maybe they believe that they can, he's a good one. Same with Christian Watson. Like I know I think they're now favored in that game, but they're traveling in that one. Christian Watson's another good wide receiver that you can look at. So there are some that you don't necessarily have to spend up on, right? Jaxon Smith-Njigba is going to get you zeros this weekend. But if you want to wait and get some of those guys later, like a Matthew Stafford, like some of those wide receivers, those are definitely the ones that are on my radar.
Kendall, you mentioned JSN. Congrats to your Seahawks, by the way, on earning the top seed in the NFC. We could say the same thing for the Denver Broncos in the AFC. Mm-hmm. How do you deal with the teams that earn the opening round bye when theoretically earning that top seed in their conference, they have a good path to play for a Super Bowl?
Yeah, I'm nervous as a Seahawks fan. Hands up. I think every Seahawks fan I've met over the past week are like, I'm scared. And I would say the exact same thing. Even on that game against the 49ers recently, I was like holding my breath the whole time. I think that they have a good path in these contests, and I'll talk specifically to the Giannis. It's really hard to draft JSN right now. And I think you have to be very cautious about that because he gets you a zero. And so in those Giannis formats, you don't have a bench. You only have the two flex plays, the two wide receivers, two running back, one tight end, one quarterback. So if you're comfortable enough getting a zero and believing that the team that you constructed is good enough to get enough points to get you through the first round, you're going to be in a really good place. But for like the Seattle Seahawks, I think the big question for them is Sam Darnold and what he looks like. And I think that's the biggest question that we have right now, is because we know the defense can show up. The defense can keep us in these games. But is it going to be the Sam Darnold that throws two picks and then begins to crumble and then all of a sudden looks like the shades that we saw in Minnesota last year? So I think that's a big question. And I think the big question with the Broncos, like, every single team this season, and that's why it's so fun, has a red flag or two, right? I don't think we can look at any team and say, this is a dominant team, this team is going to the Super Bowl. I think every team has a red flag, like the Denver Broncos when we've talked about their run game before, and just them with the, you know, just them with what we saw over the season. I think some people are nitpicking that team and just saying, oh, well, they're not good enough offensively to be able to get it done. But it's a fun time right now, and I'm excited because really it just feels like the most wide open playoffs that we've had in a really long time.
Kendall Valenzuela, senior analyst over at Matthew Berry's Fantasy Life. Notice I did not congratulate her on the Seahawks getting the one seed. So let's push it forward, though, in some of these other just position groups specifically. Since you mentioned tight end mm-hmm. earlier with the dig on George Kittle, which I'm putting behind me because I'm a professional, where would you look?
I do like George Kittle. I did like George Kittle. I just said, I think George Kittle is probably the best person to get in some of these formats. And because if you don't get him, he is such a positional advantage. You can wait in some of these formats. That's the other thing. Like, be willing to wait. If you're in a format that only has five quarterbacks being taken off the board, you don't necessarily have to run and get Josh Allen. You could really stack these guys. So I think another tight end that I've been looking at though is Colston Loveland. The Bears are the number two seed. They're slight underdogs to the Packers at 1.5. Super Bowl odds don't really align with their seeding as well, so that's something you have to be careful of. But I just look at him, and he had a 29% target share, 32% air yard share in these last handful of games. And with him averaging 17.5 points, 100 utilization score at fantasylife.com, he's one that I think is being a little bit more overlooked. So again, if you're playing DFS in the DFS streets, if you're in some of these contests and want to save a little bit of money, Colston Loveland is the tight end that I would probably wait on.
Kendall, last one for me. QB1 this weekend. You mentioned Josh Allen. Is the Buffalo Bills signal mm-hmm. caller the quarterback you would draft most for the wild card round?
I would say, honestly, it's Matthew Stafford for me. And I think it's very close. I think they're a 1A, 1B. I just think that Matthew Stafford is probably going to go torched earth on this Panthers team and try and prove that they're not the team they showed us over the last couple of weeks. But I love Josh Allen. I think if someone came to me and in a lot of these Giannis formats that I've seen, people have taken Josh Allen as the QB1. I'm not mad at it. I think I'm just going to, you know, use Matthew Stafford as someone that I can wait on as maybe the last quarterback taken, because I think he's being a little bit overlooked. But he's my QB1 this weekend.
Yeah, if you remember, anybody, that game specifically against the Panthers, that was what stopped the streak of the zillion mm-hmm. touchdowns to zero interception stretch that he had at that point. He throws numerous in that game, including a pick six. So yeah, I'm sure he will be back with a vengeance coming up this weekend. Kendall, thank you so much as always. We appreciate you.
Thank you. Thanks.
And I guess the Seahawks are good at football. Whatever. Whatever. That's another thing, though, for fantasy, though. Like, Seahawks defense, probably pretty good if you got the option there late.
Absolutely. I think it's fascinating, the bye component. If you're doing fantasy football for the entirety of the playoffs, how much stock do you weigh in there? I think the Rams beat the Seahawks. It's all those things that you paint the path and then go accordingly in fantasy football.
It's going to be such a fun run. And we're going to keep talking about this coming up next, because we have the one and only Chuck Esposito of the Red Rock Race and Sportsbook joining us coming up.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Football fan, it is hard to beat what we have coming up over the next handful of games. We have the college football playoff semifinal getting underway tomorrow with our first of two, then six awesome games on deck for the NFL wildcard weekend. Ben Stevens, Stormy Bonantoni with you as we welcome you back here to Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, and very excited now to head behind the counter with Chuck Esposito.
Where are the lines changing and where's the money going? Let's go behind the counter.
Let's do it. Chuck Esposito, Red Rock Sportsbook Director, joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Chuck, so happy to have you with us. And I just set the table. We got so much awesome football coming up this weekend. Let's start in the NFL. Curious from your perspective, which game, side or total, have you seen the most attention to here so far?
You know, first, it's great to be on with you guys. Happy New Year. And you're right, it's fun. I mean, we're going to have five straight nights of a primetime football game as well, with the two college games Thursday and Friday, and then three straight days of an NFL primetime on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. There's two games that are kind of standing out right now. One is in the NFC, and that's the Bears-Packer game. And there's one in the AFC, which is Jacksonville and Buffalo. But both of those two games are starting to draw some really kind of interesting money that comes in. We know the history of the Bears-Packers, and Packers probably won six of the eight quarters against the Bears this year, yet they found themselves in a split 1-1. This game has kind of ping-ponged a bit from the Bears being the favorite down to pick, but I know consensus industry-wide right now has the Packers a one-point favorite.
Yeah, the Packers a slight favorite right there by 16 cents in the money line perspective, as you see. If Chicago somehow flips back to the favorite, it would be the first time since 2006 the Bears have been favored against Green Bay multiple times in the same season. And Chuck, of our six wildcard games this weekend, five feature a number currently at 4.5 points or fewer. There is one that is a lot more than 4.5, north of a touchdown, heck, now even north of 10, a 10.5-point spread in favor of the Rams on the road in Charlotte against the Panthers. If that holds, LA would be the largest road favorite in the history of the NFL playoffs. What's been the betting approach for a game that features a double-digit spread?
Well, the number's gone up, Ben. We opened the Rams a 10-point favorite. It's gone to 10.5. We know they got beat in that game earlier this year, 31-28 at Carolina. Panthers outscored the Rams 14-7 in the second half to win that game. But if you look statistically at almost every offensive category that mattered, the Rams won. So for whatever reason, they find themselves a wild card team. In my opinion, they're still a team that could be playing in Santa Clara in February. They're 4-1 against the number of their last five games. The one thing that really jumps off the page to me, guys, is that Carolina is 10-4 against the number in their last 14 games at home, and you're going to force the Rams with what the number is right now to win by more than two scores. So it's going to be interesting, but my guess is we're going to be huge Panther fans come early Saturday afternoon.
And Carolina has been really good covering the spread following a loss as well this season. But it is funny just thinking about this Rams team that was what talked about for so long as a potential one seed in the NFC, favored to win the Super Bowl, yet on the road in the playoffs against a sub 500 team. What are we doing? That said, let's continue to go through some of these games. I am a San Francisco 49ers fan, as you know, Chuck, and they are getting no love in the market against this Eagles team, it seems.
No, they're not. The game has gone from 3.5 to 4.5. I think you look at the Niners as banged up as they've been, especially on defense with no Warner, no Bosa, the offensive injuries they had as well. They were one game away, though, from sleeping in their own beds and not having to worry about traveling. Now they play an Eagle team that maybe is somewhat of a sleeping giant. Niners go 6-1 against the number of their last seven games. Philadelphia 16-3 straight up their last 19 games at home. You look at the Niners, though, and they just haven't, or the Eagles, it wasn't a great year out of Hurts or Brown or Barkley. Yet I worry about the Niners on defense. That defense is just banged up this year. They're going to have to play a really good game here in Philly. My guess is we're going to be Niner fans, although they are 7-2 away this year, with the Eagles only being 5-3 at home.
51 career starts for Brock Purdy. His 49ers in those games have only been booked as an underdog four total times. San Francisco as a dog when Purdy gets the start, 0-4 against the number, and of course then straight up. Chuck, I want to talk big picture here and look at the Super Bowl 60 odds as we enter the postseason. Three of our five betting favorites preseason before 2025 began, Ravens, Chiefs, Lions, miss out on the postseason. Two teams, Baltimore and KC, with a 10-1 price or better to win a Lombardi Trophy entering the year, miss out on the playoffs. That's the most we've seen since 2017. So of the 14 teams that will be playing in the postseason in the National Football League, where's the biggest liability currently from the Super Bowl odds?
Well, you stole a little bit of my thunder, Ben, because I was going to say the same thing, that this year is really a little bit upside down when you think about Chiefs, Ravens, Lions all being out, and the number one and number two seeds in each conference being the Broncos and Patriots and Seahawks and Bears. Most people didn't think that would be the case. There is some liability on some of those teams we didn't expect to be there, and the Broncos and Bears both have some liability across the board. Pretty good shape with most of the other teams, but those two teams, a little bit of a surprise that they're in the spots that they're in, and definitely some liability, with the largest liability being on the Bears.
Did want to say real quickly as well, before we move too far off of the 49ers conversation, Kyle Shanahan did say on the podium this morning, Trent Williams and Ricky Pearsall both not practicing today. So putting their availability that much more in doubt for this weekend. Let's look ahead to the college football playoff. I mentioned the semifinals getting underway with the first of the two games coming up tomorrow. How have both of these games been played to this point over at Red Rock?
There was a little bit of a push early on, Stormy, on the favorites, but since then, it's been pretty much all dog money that's come in. We've seen both games come down just a little bit. I think, you know, you look at Ole Miss, and it's really been that maybe circle the wagons mentality. It's us against the world. We lose Kiffin. And Miami, you think about Miami where they were. I mean, they get beaten that game in mid-October against Louisville. 2 weeks later, they lose at SMU. There was rumors about Cristobal. Would he be back or not? Yet they beat Ohio State. So kind of an intriguing matchup here, but we have seen some money start to show on Ole Miss. You look at Miami 4-1 against the number, their last five games. Ole Miss 5-0 against the number, their last five times they've played an opponent from the ACC. Really good two-way handle on this game, though, right now. Kind of hard to say who we're going to need at kickoff, but there has been some sharp money that has started to show on the Rebels.
Chuck, we'll talk about the point totals for both college football playoff games now. A lower number for Indiana and Oregon. That's Big Ten football, brother. 47.5, but working its way up ever so slightly. Stormy and I talked about this earlier. Public money on DraftKings on the under for the Ole Miss and Miami game in the Fiesta Bowl, but a lot of sharp money out there in Vegas on the over, expecting a higher scoring game between the Canes and the Revs. What have you guys seen from the point totals for our college football playoff semis?
Yeah, in the Miami-Ole Miss game, we really haven't moved off the 52. So we've been sitting there in the Indiana-Oregon game. We opened the total 48. It did come down to 47. We know these two teams played a really kind of epic game early in the season where there wasn't a lot of respect for Indiana, maybe at that point going to play at one of the toughest places in the country in Eugene, and they played well. They won 30-20 with one of Oregon's scores being an interception return for a touchdown. So we've seen that game come down just a little bit, but kind of unfamiliar, though. You look at Oregon, who was a 7-point favorite in this game when they played at home. They now come into this game as a 4-point underdog. So early push was a little bit on the favorite, but we've seen a lot of duck money start to show since then, guys.
Yeah, you wonder if maybe that 10, 11 points is just too much of a swing, potentially.
Well, I think too, Stormy, when you think about it, put into perspective, before the season started, we had Indiana at 100-1 to win the college football national championship. Oregon was one of the top teams at 12-1.
Man, look at those Hoosiers now. This has been, I mean, just such a remarkable season for them and what Kurt Cignetti has done each of the last 2 years. Real quickly, before we let you go, got about 90 seconds left. With the fields winding down in the NFL and college football, how much attention have we started to see to some of those other teams in the NBA, NHL, college basketball? Like, we got a big top 25 game in college hoops today. How much handle and attention are those other sports getting?
they're getting a lot of attention too. I think in our industry now, especially with the mobile apps and ours, STN Sports, it brings the sports book to you. So there's always stuff available with the live wagering, all the props that are available. It's definitely a win-win for us guys. But I think over the next 5 days, starting tomorrow with all the college football and the pro football games and the primetime games, it's going to be a fun place to be in all of our sports books industry-wide.
Well, try not to have too much fun, Chuck. Appreciate the time as always. Thanks for doing this.
All right. Thanks, guys, for having me on.
Chuck Esposito, everybody, doing a great job over there at the Race and Sportsbook at Red Rock in Summerlin, Las Vegas. I used to live over there. That's where the fancy people live. I'm not that cool anymore, Ben.
Well, listen, I've never even heard of Summerlin all that much. I need to up my knowledge of the greater desert and Las Vegas. I still think you're pretty cool, though.
Thank you.
Downtown Las Vegas, inside the Circus Sportsbook, that's a good spot to be.
That's true. I do get to drive to a pretty cool place every day. So I guess I have some solace in that. You hear that music? That means it's time for me to stop.
I'm going to update to the Money Move group chat, but I was hearing local burger places thrown out by our producer, Justin, last night. If I ever get to Vegas, I know where to go get a good burger.
That's true. We got to get a group lunch here. Money Moves crew lunch. I'm down. Okay, we got to step aside. Back, though, more action coming up as we kick off hour two. Is the trend your friend? Wildcard weekend. We will tell you why or why not next.